So we're continuing with the sermon series that I've been preaching. The 5 p.m. is actually probably the only Mass that's hearing them all in order, whereas the other ones are hearing them slightly differently. But what I want to get into this week, probably one of the most controversial topics in the church, which is natural family planning and contraception. And a lot of times I think there's a stereotype of how these homilies go, right? So the priest gets up and tries to give a well-reasoned argument about the church teaching or present it. And sometimes the priest doesn't do a good job of it and maybe comes across as a little arrogant or a little distant from the people. Sometimes the priest might get up there and have a little bit more of a convincing argument, but still it's kind of on the level of ideas. And I was thinking of actually doing that form or trying to give a convincing homily on why we shouldn't use contraception. But then I started to reflect on my experiences the past year. There was a series of events that kind of shaped a little bit my thinking. And I started to have a few insights. I started to realize one of the fundamental problems is one of motivation. So I encountered, I'm not thinking of one particular couple, but I encountered multiple couples that wanted to embrace the church teaching, but they struggled with how to do that. And I'll say this up front. I will believe and always teach and affirm the church teaching on sexuality and contraception. My goal is not to confuse or obscure doctrine, but these experiences really shaped how I started to think about the problem a little bit differently. So the first one, as I was mentioning, the couple's really struggling. And what it was the couples would love to embrace the church teaching on contraception, but due to the very real challenges of the wife's biology and health issues, they struggled to implement these teachings. I learned to sympathize with priests who dissent from church teaching because I realized that in such situations, the natural desire of an empathetic heart is to want to give some kind of easy and simple solution. When faced with the burden and the complexities of concrete circumstances, it can seem like the path of least resistance to give people a solution that make their concerns go away, especially when they seem to be dealing with so many other issues in addition to the question of fertility. But then I started to think, perhaps that's at the heart of why contraception is so seductive. Imagine that the temptation is to solve the complex issue of fertility so that a couple can get on with the more pressing issues of family life, such as paying the bills and raising children. Having to worry about an unwanted pregnancy can seem like a distraction from dealing with more important issues, perhaps for couples. I think there can also be a temptation even within the church to treat the subject the same way. As a priest, I face the temptation just to treat this delicate issue as another box to check off. So I made sure I got my contraception homily in this year. But the reality is, there's some complexities that I've started to realize that we need to address. I started to realize that women's health is really complex, and inspiring women to embrace the church teaching is a lot more difficult than giving a convincing homily. If we are going to do this right, there has to be a lot of work and planning that needs to happen. I think that's the contrast. The solution is take a pill and you don't have to think about it. Or in contrast, work hard and the challenges that come with it and bond together. And that doesn't seem like it's very attractive. The harder way very rarely seems attractive. I started to realize that we need to motivate us as a parish and women to embrace this challenge, not just as individuals, but as a group. In addition, I think we need to, as a parish, inspire women to work together towards the goal of embracing the church teaching, not just in regards to fertility, but all aspects of life. We need to form intentional communities where women and men form spiritual friendships that can help them walk with the Lord. Communities where they can be vulnerable and open. And that doesn't happen automatically. It needs to be cultivated. And the women of Refresh Your Spirit would attest to this, that they work hard to put on the annual women's retreat and to build that sense of community. And I think perhaps this is a next step that we need to take, especially some of those groups. The question then becomes, in my mind, how do I motivate you to what it might be the most greatest challenge of your life? How do I motivate you to embrace a teaching that might prove to be the most frustrating, the most difficult, and ultimately the teaching that requires the most self-sacrifice? I gained greater clarity from another part of my life. So one of the things I'm going to be talking about in the coming months, weeks, years, is that my family has recently learned that we have a rare genetic disease that is affecting my uncle and my mom. For now, I don't want to get into all of the details. What changed my perspective the most was sitting in the doctor's office and hearing my mom talk in great detail about all the medical issues she has had over the years. I never really thought about it that much. And then in that moment, I started to realize that my mother's dealt with some really complex issues. And then I started to talk with my sister a little bit about it, because we've been talking more about health lately. And even my sister has dealt with a lot of stuff. And I started to think, well, maybe it's women's biology is a little bit more complicated than it is for guys. And doctors kind of affirm this. It's not simple health issues. And that's when a light bulb went off. I thought perhaps one of the struggles for couples is communication around health issues. So that both partners face, but particularly women. Fertility issues are at the front and center of such a conversation. And contraception in that context can seem like a seductive way of ignoring complex issues. I would say probably if you look at college students, for example, who are in relationships where they're having, you know, intimate relations, I bet you for the most part, the men pretty much ignore the complex issues that women face. In their mind, they don't have to worry about it. It's the woman's issue. Sometimes that can carry over into marriages as well. I've also realized that this challenge might also lead to greater self-knowledge for women and for couples. The daily work and thought that natural family planning would require means that men and women will have to look at the complexities of human life and maybe spend less time being distracted. That's hard, but ultimately I think it's worth it. Sadly, I think one of the greatest lies of our age is that life should be easy and comfortable. Deep down, we know it's a lie, and we really recognize that anything that is important in life requires sacrifice and suffering. The question now becomes whether we will take that mentality into how we approach these delicate issues. So what I want you to consider in closing, I want you to imagine that all the families of St. Peter's decided to embrace this journey together towards implementing the church's teaching. What might our parish and our families look like in 10 years? First, let us recognize that maybe year one would be a real challenge. Maybe even if several of you are convicted of trying to implement this and trying to form it and form groups around this, year one might be a challenge. Maybe even years 1 through 3 will be kind of difficult. But who knows the setbacks we might face? But what imagine if in 10 years we've embraced this as a parish? We may be able to look back and say, wow, that was worth it. Look how far we've come. Perhaps our families would be stronger. Perhaps women in our parish would be more supportive of each other and have deeper friendships. Friendships formed by being in the trenches with each other day by day. Perhaps men would be more understanding towards their wives and their struggles they face. And I didn't put this in the text. I could even see this overflowing into ECU Newman as well and how the young men and women see their relationships in college. So perhaps the men in our parish would have deeper friendships. And I can imagine it would overflow and affect our teenagers as well and our young people. Because the reality is to buy the lies of the culture, particularly if you listen to pop songs or pop culture, what it really requires, the hookup culture and the fantasies, it requires that young women be on contraception and that young men just ignore that side of life, the issues that women face, their health issues, and all those other things. That's what's really required for those fantasies to work, at least work in the short term. So this might seem a little lofty for the question of fertility and contraception, but perhaps this is the key to renewing the church. We look at reasons why we're hemorrhaging Catholics. We know that as a statistic. We know that even among our young people, statistically, a majority of them will probably leave the faith within 5 years. Perhaps, I'm not saying it's a magic bullet, but perhaps these kinds of issues are precisely where we need to experience renewal within the church. That when we bond together with all the prayer, the graces, and the active efforts and the sacrifices that it will require, perhaps that will lead to that renewal. Perhaps the greatest tragedy of our age is that we have pushed this important issue aside and failed to really unite around it. With all this in mind, I believe that powerful things can happen if we take up this quest. Once the doors open and we start to truly discuss these important topics, the possibilities are endless. And I invite our parish to take up this challenge. Amen.